It's time for Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Mat-Su Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, folks, once again, it's time for another edition of Valley Edition. It's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio Terry Snyder. Welcome, Terry.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine today. It's very sunny as we're doing this.
And it was windy last night.
Yeah.
It was.
And also in the studio, Lee Hendrickson. Welcome, Lee.
Well, Mike, nice to be here.
Obviously, we're getting close to that time when we're going to be dealing with the election. And it's called a general election. And what we're going to be able to do at that time is deal with a result that could have far-reaching impact upon us here in the state, the valley, and so on. And I thought it would be useful to start by giving kind of a state of the campaign discussion going on, because we know that we had a very significant event when Governor Walker suspended his campaign, and that resulted in just three people being in the race for governor. Of course, Mark Begich, the Democratic nominee. We have Mr. Dunleavy, who is the Republican nominee. And, of course, we have a Libertarian in Billy Towin. So I'm curious, maybe we could start with Terry. Most recently, have you seen activity, debates, any action that suggests that the two leading candidates of the majority parties are actively out there soliciting votes? What have you noticed?
Election is on the 6th, though we have actually a week from Tuesday, or we're getting pretty close to the end of the line. And yes, there was a debate last night. KTUU and Alaska Public Media did pretty wide coverage of it. And I think it was picked up on radio and TV stations in Fairbanks and Juneau and around. So they should have had a pretty good audience for it. Mr. Dunleavy, who's been absent at a lot of the debates, the majority of them, especially when there were three candidates in the race, was there last night, as was Mark Begich. It was pretty well-run debate. Not only were there two very seasoned newscasters, or four, I guess, total, asking questions, but they were also taking some video questions from the field, which was kind of good. I think on the good part about it is they covered a variety of subjects, a lot of concentration on the PFD, and there are some vast differences between the candidates on exactly what it means to protect the PFD, and also going forward, how do you pay that out? Big differences there, although they are both wanting to protect the PFD for the public, but very different schemes on how that happens. But, you know, by and large, they covered a lot of topics. I'm not sure. I didn't completely walk away feeling like there were enough tough questions answered as to their real specific differences on things, particularly, you know, yes and no. Are you going to discontinue Medicaid expansion? I know Mark Begich has been pretty clear on that, and I've heard him answer very sternly that he is not planning on discontinuing that program, that he thinks it should be run differently, and there are some savings that can be made, and he's got that experience from Washington, D.C., maybe to bring to that. Although, and Mr. Dunleavy says he doesn't want to take health care away from Alaska, but not wanting to take health care away from Alaska and taking it away is kind of two different things. So a lot of topics. I talked about education. It was pretty comprehensive debate as far as topics go.
Are you aware of any of the other debates that will be coming up that will have those two people?
Not that's going to be televised that much. I'm sure they're going to be out there. I think Anchorage has pretty much wrapped up the debate season. These last couple of weeks, I think you're going to may see some radio and that sort of thing, but I don't know of any scheduled, Mike.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, I think what Radio Free Palmer tried to do, and I think the Alaska Public Media is doing it too, is moving them earlier into before the election, since early voting has already started, and like Mike and I have already voted.
Yeah.
So having a debate after people are starting to vote.
And it's robust, the amount of people that are voting early. So, yeah.
Both with absentee ballots, tens of thousands. And also the early voting as well.
And I noticed the ADN is running a series of questions and having the candidates answer questions in that format, too. So live debate. And, you know, it should be stated that Mr. Dunleavy hasn't wanted to debate to this point. In fact, just last weekend, he decided not to go to the Kodiak debate. So having put on those type of things, it takes a lot of preparation to get them on, and it takes money. So I don't know. I don't know of any that are upcoming.
Okay. Right.
I just want to add that, as I mentioned, early voting has started, and I looked up this morning. If you want to vote in the Matsu Borough, there are two places you can go vote. 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, you can vote at the Borough Building in Palmer at 350 East Dahlia Avenue. And that's all the way through November 5th, the day before the elections, mm-hmm. Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. And those are just the ballots for districts in the borough, districts 7 through 12. Mm-hmm. If you go to the Region 2 Election Office for the Division of Elections in Wasilla at 1700 East Bogard Road, all 40 districts, you can vote any ballot in the state there. And mm-hmm. it's, again, 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, through Monday, November 5th. On the weekend before the election, November 3rd, you can vote from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. On Sunday, noon to 4 p.m. And on election day, you can go in and vote from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. So there's lots of opportunities to go vote. If you're in the borough, you can go do those things. And also, you know, call the Division of Elections if you're not sure about your polling place. Mm-hmm. And if you're not sure, you can call them at 1-888-383-8683.
Right. Important information.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now we're going to wait a moment. We're going to get a call in from Philip Manning from KTNA up there in Talkeetna. He'll be joining us as we continue our discussion about campaigns and obvious events that are happening. Lee, you had an opportunity to be at a Palmer Chamber of Commerce meeting recently where two candidates, in this case for the state House.
House 11, yeah.
Right. And what was your impression there?
So House District 11, the incumbent is Representative Delana Johnson, Republican, and she's being challenged by Democrat Eileen Patterson. A series of questions they both answered pretty well. Definitely a contrast between the two. Eileen has definitely got energy, you know, talks about moving to the future and looking for solutions and being innovative. Delana fell back on more of the standard, what we're doing okay.
Mm-hmm. But there is definitely a difference in the candidates and the
yes.
way they look forward and those that are going to support them, too.
Right, right.
And I know that Eileen Patterson was a veteran.
Mm-hmm. Is a veteran.
So she brings those eyes. Delana Johnson is the incumbent. She brings that experience. So
right.
it is a clear difference between the candidates.
And a local business owner.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Philip Manning has joined us. Philip, are you there?
I am here.
Okay. Well, you're probably listening to the discussion ongoing between Terry Snyder and Lee Henriksen. They were talking about the event at the Palmer Chamber of Commerce where Lee witnessed a debate between Eileen Patterson, or was it a debate? Or
it wasn't really a debate. A series of questions were asked, and they each were given 2 minutes to answer, mm-hmm. and they flipped between who answered first.
Okay, Philip, we earlier talked a little bit about the debate that recently happened. Was it last night
mm-hmm.
between two prime candidates? Because Billy Tolan was not there, between Mark Begich and Mike Dunleavy. I was wondering if there have been any recent forums or debates up there in the northern part of the valley, particularly Talkeetna, involving any of the candidates.
No debates. I have had a couple of one-on-one discussions with the candidates. We talked with Mike Dunleavy a couple of months ago, and then spoke with Mark Begich a couple of weeks ago regarding the campaign, and this was before Governor Walker dropped out. Mm. Of course, the dynamics have completely changed between then and now, but even on the House level, there haven't been any debates or forums here. It's been mostly one-on-one interviews is what I've been able to get up here.
Well, Mike Schauer was down here on Tuesday at the Palmer City Council meeting. He came down and introduced himself to the council, and I had an opportunity to talk to him a little bit. I was wondering if you've had any recent contact with him.
Not recently. I spoke with him, I guess that would have been August was the last time that I spoke directly with him.
Okay. And what I'm also curious about is we talked about the beginning of absentee voting, early voting, and the rest of it. Is your sense that the people in the Upper Valley are tending to be early voters? And if so, How do they do that? Is there a way to do it, or do they have to come all the way down to Wasilla?
Well, if the borough election was any indication, then there may be a substantial number of early and absentee voting. And a couple of the polling locations up here do have that available. The Talkeetna and Trapper Creek Public Libraries both have absentee in-person mm-hmm. voting available as of right now.
Okay.
That's right.
So from what you're saying, I'm getting the impression that as far as this lead up to the general election on November 6th, there's not a lot of formal activity in the Upper Valley. Are you seeing any, for example, instances where candidates are going door to door, or what are they doing to plead their case?
I haven't heard of a lot of door knocking happening recently. Mark Begich was in town did have a public appearance. I guess that would have been last Sunday. And then just the other day, there was an informational session for the Stand for Salmon folks. So there are some campaign efforts happening up here, but I haven't heard of a lot of door-to-door.
Okay. Terry, since Philip has mentioned the Stand for Salmon initiative, which is also going to be on the ballot and continues to receive quite a bit of advertising attention, I'm wondering if there's any sense about how that is likely to turn out. Is there discussion amongst the people that you're familiar with? Will go one way or the other, or is this one of those split ideas?
Yeah, I think this one is really who you talk to. There certainly is imbalance in the amount of money that's being spent. The Yes Stand for Salmon folk, they really are sort of on a shoestring budget in comparison to the no voters, who really heavily funded by the oil companies. And the people I've talked to have been pretty confused about it and not really sure. I think they're a little unsure about the initiative process already, and you know, some not sure which to believe at this point. So I'm hoping people are doing their homework. I do know that the KSK had a program on last week about it and had, you know, the pro and opposing sides. And there was some interesting comments made during that may have enlightened people. But, you know, it's funny, I got a lot of questions about that, about the time for the borough election. People were a little confused about that being a borough issue. And, of course, fish is a big issue in Mat-Su. We've had diminishing returns for a while now, and there's a lot of concern from the sports fishermen about that. But it's maybe as we get closer to the election, more people will be asking about that. But there was a lot of confusion because there was so much information about that around the borough election time, and now it's not. There's more noise in the room, you know, about the governor's race, you know, the House race, and I think that's sort of dropped off. But maybe, you know, you're sort of in a fishing mecca up there, Philip. Maybe you're hearing more than we are.
You know, I think you actually hit the nail right on the head. I think the increased action in the governor's race has really taken up a lot of the attention as far as the general election goes. I'm hearing way more about that than anything else on the ballot for November 6th.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It makes me wonder, just stepping, you know, putting on a little different spin, as we think about the initiative that passed in the borough to move the local election mm-hmm. to the general, it just sort of reaffirms the sense I have that the local election can easily be drowned out.
Yeah.
With stuff happening on the state and national.
Yeah, and I don't know, Philip, if you were able to see the debate last night, debate for the state between the governors, candidates for governor, but there was a clear difference on view of elections from the candidates. They were asked whether or not they supported a mail-in ballot, which essentially is what we have with absentee ballots. Mr. Begich was very much in support of that. He thinks that although there were a few hiccups in the Anchorage race, that it shows real promise to increasing voter turnout. And Mr. Dunleavy was not for that, thought there was too many problems in the Anchorage race, and he is not supportive at this point of a mail-in. So that's a clear difference, and I, you know, not sure if you saw that, but I didn't know where they stood particularly on that, so that was a good thing to find out.
I didn't see last night's debate, but I do know that Mark Begich has been very clear on the record on that as far as being in favor of mail-in ballots. He said that for his plan for the PFD, which would put the, you know, split the earnings reserve 50-50 between permanent fund dividends and funding for education, he specifically said he would want to do that next year and have that on the ballot next year, specifically because Alaska only allows mail-in ballots currently in off years. And so yeah, he would basically use the system the way it is now in order to have a mail-in election.
Yeah, nice way to test the system.
Well, we've talked about a number of different candidates at different levels of government. The one we have not yet spoken to is the race for the U.S. House, mm-hmm. Don Young versus Elise Galvin. I'm wondering, Philip, if you have had recent contact. Has Don Young been seen walking the streets of Talkeetna recently?
No, I have not.
I know Elise Galvin has been very, very much out and about, and Mr. Right. Young, Representative Young, has not been as much.
Right. Yeah, I think
he was in Palmer last Thursday because there was a meet and greet at Janet Kincaid's house, but he had to go there.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a fundraiser then.
No, that was not a fundraiser. Mm. The fundraiser was that night. That was just a meet and greet.
And speaking of fundraising, my last information about the fundraising that Elise Galvin and Don Young has done shows her to be in a very competitive position, at least as reported, with both the totals that have been raised and cash on hand. I also have been following the variety of projections from particularly 538, Nate Silver's site, and it looked like the last numbers I saw there was that the polling percentages suggest something between 46 and 49, Elise Galvin with 46% of the vote and Don Young with 49% as we're heading toward the
day. It's impressive because she has not taken any PAC money, and the majority of her donations are small donations and in-state donations. And there's a very big contrast not only to the amount of money she has been able to raise, but also from whom they've come from. And I think what Nate has done is taken it out of, you know, Republican to leaning Republican, which is a significant difference. She's also getting a lot of national recognition of the race, one to keep an eye on. And that's pretty typical this time of year where people find these races that are so big, like the one in Texas, that everyone is looking between Ted Cruz and Beto and focus on those big races. And then the rest of them kind of fly under the radar. And then all of a sudden they say, whoa, this is, you know, you're just moving chairs around here. And it makes a difference. One race can really make a huge difference. So I'm keeping it on. That debate is supposed to be on Channel 2 tonight and public radio tonight as well at 7. And I think that might be a little, from what I've seen from the one at the AFN, that one may be a little more fiery than what we saw last night.
Okay. Well, let's just also be reminded that, as you're suggesting, Terry, that what happens in Alaska doesn't stay in Alaska. When Governor Walker suspended his campaign, it was noticed. I speak to that specifically because I was interviewing this week a reporter who's written a book recently, works for the Washington Post. And when we finished the book interview, he said, well, wait, I want to ask you, how's the governor's race going? And he was very much aware that the governor had suspended his campaign. It had been a change. And he stated quite clearly that many eyes were on what was happening in Alaska. We made the news there. And here's a guy in the center of things. We've been thinking about all kinds of stuff. And yet, I think that points out the high visibility of this particular race.
Well, and we have a history of kind of kooky elections.
Right. So, Philip, I'd like to switch back to another topic. We were going to be watching this campaign to November 6th for a long time, but there's something more fundamental in the borough, and that is timber. And last week, we had an opportunity to talk with Zaz, who had written a very significant piece about timber and all the rest of it. Do you have any sense of what's happening in this whole process of both the beetle kill and now what appears to be a suspended timber sale that's happening, and that it's particularly important in your area?
I saw Zaz's article, and it was had a lot of detail and a lot of really good information in there. And so, yeah, Cheejit Creek, which is the timber sale off Petersville Road in the Trapper Creek area here, is pretty much stalled out at this point. And there's some mixed feelings about that, because a lot of the folks who are in that area want to see some of that beetle kill cleared. There were, of course, concerns about what it was going to do to the roads and that sort of thing. But, you know, as you head north, the beetle kill has expanded quite a bit in the last year. Mm-hmm. If you're going along the Parks Highway, you see a fair bit as you get close to Talkeetna around mile 100. But as you head north, into and past Trapper Creek, it's pretty impressive how many trees are standing dead at mm-hmm. this point. And there's a fair amount of concern about what that's going to mean down the road, both for timber, for potential fire hazard, mm-hmm. that sort of thing.
Okay.
Are there a lot of vendors there that do wood cutting as opposed to, and this was a big company that was coming in. I think that was part of the concern of the people that lived up in that area was the amount of trucks that were going to increase in that from an ordinance that past Assemblymember Kowalki had brought to the table. But are there a lot of small businesses up there that could handle the, you know, smaller impact to roads by clearing that out?
There are some. There are a handful. I wouldn't say there are a lot, mm-hmm. but, you know, here in even in downtown Talkeetna, I think I've mentioned on the show before that there are a lot of trees that have had to come down right in downtown, and that's been happening, but there's not, I don't know that there's enough to handle the demand. I think in a lot of cases, it's private property owners that are handling it themselves.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Philip, we've missed you for a week or so, and I'm curious about any other topics that you may be following which are hot or heating up there in the Talkeetna area.
The election's been the big one, to be honest with you.
Okay.
The past borough election or the one on the table right now?
Both. I think the borough election, obviously, you know, things have settled out a little bit from that. But looking ahead to the state election, I've seen an increase in signs. Like I said, candidates have been showing up. Mark Begich was here. Elise Galvin was also here about a week and a half ago. So there's definitely some attention being paid to the Northern Valley at this point.
Okay.
Any indication to what Randall Kowalki is going to do next after leaving the assembly?
Not as of yet.
Okay. All right. Well, the last question then has to be the one that affects all of us, and that has to do with the weather. Right now, we're enjoying temperatures that range in the 40s, that we've had days that have been gloriously fall-like.
Touched the 50s yesterday.
Touched 50 yesterday.
Mike's wearing his Hawaiian shirt today.
I have my Hawaiian shirt on today. And we know that up in Glacier View, they've had, a little bit of snow. Snow came down, turned to rain, et cetera. And we're looking towards snow this weekend. Have you seen snow?
No, not at all. We've seen a fair bit of rain in the last week, and folks are getting a little bit concerned. You know, there's a lot of mushers that live in this area from Willow all the way up through here. Dallas Seavey has a big operation that he set up in this area, and we have not seen, I personally have not seen a single flurry. You know, yet on top of that, there's a very robust cross-country skiing community in this area, and in March, there's the Usyk Classic E-Race, which is a very big race, brings, you know, over 1,000 people, which 700 skiers, but well over 1,000 people total to Talkeetna. And there's a fair bit of concern over whether or not this winter is going to be able to allow that.
Yeah. I
wonder if there's also something of a concern about fire danger, because this is pretty late not to have any cover down with a lot of foliage that has gone into its fall state, et cetera. And then you add in that all of the beetle-killed spruce. Any concern there?
Not that I've heard specifically. It's been fairly wet up here. Even though we haven't had any snow, we have gotten a decent amount of rain.
Okay.
So fire conditions are not too bad at the moment.
Okay.
Well, I got my snow tires on yesterday, so we're ready.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you're going to see a lot of people have put that off. I've been sort of listening to the click, click, click of snow tires. I'm not hearing a lot of them, but I wanted to beat the rush. But I'll bet once that shows up, if it does Sunday, things will change quickly in that front.
And I guess the other thing to say about this warm weather is I think I'm going to finally finish harvesting my garden this weekend.
Right. Okay. Well, I want to thank all of you for joining us today for Valley Edition. I want to thank Terry Snyder and Lee Hendrickson for both coming in here to the studio. Thank you.
Happy to do it.
And I want to thank Philip for calling in from Talkeetna. I know it's busy season up there. And we'll be back again next week for another edition of Valley Edition.
You've been listening to Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Matsu Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky. Valley Edition is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of hosts or guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.